This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
If we don't bring it up, maybe nobody will notice that happened, and we'll be fine. You know, it's like when a kid like bumps their head, it's just like, nobody look at them.
Yeah, don't draw attention to it.
They won't cry.
It's fine.
Shelby didn't butcher the opening after a trip to Mexico. She's probably still drunk during the recording, if I had to guess.
No, it's been a rough week to come home to. You know, I was in bliss. I was on cloud nine. I was enjoying nothing but sunshine and ocean and sleeping in and no responsibilities and far away from any sort of political headline that could make me just lose my mind. And now I had to come back to this. It's been hard, okay?
You know, I'm really excited that J.D. Vance is the vice presidential nominee. He seems like a really great guy to me. Amy Adams has met him at some point, so there's that going on in the ether. Politics are terrifying. Yeah. The one nice thing about this political situation is that it seems to be unraveling very quickly. You know, it's like every day it's a new thing. So maybe a good thing is coming.
Wow, what a uniquely optimistic perspective.
I'm trying to make some sort of positive spin on this.
I mean, who knows? You're right. Anything could happen, literally. So...
yeah.
The hits keep coming, but...
the hits keep coming. but actually, this year, perhaps, maybe the hits did not keep coming, because we are discussing our top 10 movies from the first half of the year. And going through the list, it was a bit scant, I will say. I sort of did not have that many that I was that excited about. I sort of had to go back and look through some movies that I had seen at film festivals last year that came out this year, technically.
Yeah.
Really had to hunt and peck around to come up with 10 that I felt somewhat solid about.
Well, how many movies have you seen this year? I feel like you've seen like 72 already.
I've seen 39 this year, but... okay. But a lot of those are festival movies, so they don't really count. But then I also then have seen a lot of movies last year that like technically came out this year. So the number was confusing because it's like, okay, I saw Hitman back last October. Well, that just came out in May. So
you're number one, right?
Right, exactly. And I was like, oh my gosh, Hitman. I love that movie.
Yay,
put it at that number one slot.
I've seen 27, and I was trying to figure out if that was low or high for where we were last year, because it does feel like I'm behind somehow.
Well, it's weird because I feel like coming into like May and June, I felt like, oh my gosh, I had seen every possible thing that you could see, and there wasn't that much good stuff. And then I feel like the last couple months, there's been a lot of sort of like sleeper hit kind of things going on that I haven't caught up with. Like, people said that The First Omen was really good. I saw The TV Glow I haven't seen. I didn't see The Bike Riders. I didn't see Kinds of Kindness. I didn't see Long Legs that came out this past weekend. Sing Sing just came out that's supposedly very good, and I haven't seen that. So
these are all just horror films.
Well, no, it's like, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of horror movies.
Well, good for me.
But I feel
all
like
my
if
top
I
five
had
those,
your top five are all of those movies.
Yeah, I saw
the
first
Omen. No, you didn't go see those four movies.
Number
Shelby.
Three,
you're lying to me. It's that tequila speaking again. How many shots did you do before this episode, Shelby?
I need something.
Blink once if you've taken more than 10 shots.
No, it's been an interesting summer of films. And you know what? We haven't done episodes on a lot of these. So I don't know what we have been doing. But I feel like some of these we haven't even talked about yet. So I'm excited.
Well, yeah, because we haven't been, because since we didn't do the pop culture roundups, some of these smaller ones that we would have normally caught mm-hmm. in a mm-hmm. Love It or Hate It, we haven't got to. Yeah, because I was looking through the list and I was like, which of these movies is Shelby going to pick? And then I was like, I bet she's watched some things on streaming that I haven't even heard of that are somehow yeah. going to make into her top 10. So I'm like, I feel like we're going to have very different lists.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
I'm like, I don't. And I also don't know how many of the things on my list you've watched either. No. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know if yours is the list of the populi. You know, I feel like
it's no, and it's not, and it's not
stuffy,
and it's weird. and I feel very good about my number one pick. The rest of the list, I mean, I like these movies, but, yes, how culturally resonant will this be? Unclear. But I think a lot of these are available for like, streaming VOD kind of purposes. Yeah. So if you're listening, get out a paper and pen and start writing some titles down.
Yeah. We're doing you a favor. So you're welcome.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Okay. We'll start in a good place. I did a little bit of finagling to get this into the top 10. Probably doesn't necessarily need to be in the 10 spot, but I thought it would be fun. Which is a movie that we watched together, Upgraded, the Camila Mendes art world rom-com that I thought was so fun. Marissa Tomei is great in it. It's mm-hmm. on Prime Video, I believe. And yeah, just like a very fun, well-executed romp of a movie, which I feel like we don't get that often these days. And yeah, it was just like what I needed it to be, and it did it well, and it was campy, and the performances were good. And yeah, it was a fun watch.
I think the ending fizzled, like we discussed. I think the like coming together of a rom-com is really important, that final chapter. And it could have been a little bit better, but I did enjoy the ride. So I respect that. I respect that existence there.
It was that or Madam Web really fighting it out for that last spot in the final 10. So RIP to my mother researching spiders in Amazon.
You know, that's the hard thing is I feel like at the end of year, I try to be more thoughtful about like what's actually a good movie. But for this mid-year recap, I'm just like vibes, you know, like what did I enjoy? Mm-hmm. So coming in at number 10 is Immaculate.
Oh, so, okay.
You're welcome.
I have this on my list as well, but it's higher up if you can believe it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah, this is The Nun, Sydney Sweeney, body horror, pro-abortion, anti-establishment, religious trauma, tour de force that really spoke to me in a way I wasn't anticipating. It's not good, but it's entertaining. And I had a good time.
Yeah, the last like 20 minutes, I think, are very solid. The first hour and 10 minutes is sort of bad and mildly unwatchable at points. But yeah, again, yeah. Great. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
My number 9 pick is a French movie that probably no one has seen.
Oh my gosh.
Called, look, I was hunting and digging. Okay. This is called Last Summer. I think you would probably hate it. It's about like a middle-aged woman who sort of falls in love with her husband's like child from a previous marriage, and they sort of start having an affair. What? And then obviously that goes horrifically bad and sort of like the fallout from it. It's very, you know, like drama in the house and saucy. And like, I think it thinks that it's more high-minded than it is, but it was just sort of a interesting romp of a movie.
Is it funny?
No, it's not funny. It's a drama.
But it's a romp.
Well, it's just like, you know, like the decisions that this woman is made are make is making are so bad, and you know that they're bad from the jump, but everybody in the house kind of sucks. So to watch them all kind of try to screw each other over in these weird settings, it sort of has like maybe Succession kind of energy to a certain degree. Which again, I don't think you would like it. I don't think you should watch it. But
thank you for the warning.
But I thought it was interesting, and I was captivated the entire time, which is more than I can say for a lot of movies that I've seen this year.
Okay, well, that's good to know. It's called Last Summer.
Yes, it's called Last Summer.
Wow, where can the people watch it, Matt?
Oh gosh, like Mubi probably. Did we have to have this prepared?
No, I was just curious. Last this is actually summer. A released film.
No, I'm pretty sure it is. I'm like, it was out in theaters.
Okay.
Now I'm like, it's somehow still out in theaters.
Huh. Oh, look at that. Yes.
Interesting.
Such a success.
Yes, they keep bringing it back over and over and over again.
Oh, wow. Word of mouth.
Yeah, so it
powerful.
Could be playing near you if you live in New York or LA. So
I have not seen this come up on my AMC app, but I'll keep an eye out.
Okay.
My number 9 is Babes, which is the Ilana Glazer comedy that came out last month. Have you heard of this? Have you seen it? Have you enjoyed it?
I have not seen it, but I have heard of it.
It's fun. It's cute. It's about two best friends. One is now a mother of two, and one is single and loving life and unexpectedly gets pregnant. And they're just both so funny and charismatic that you're just happy to go along with it. But also at the heart of it, it turns out to be less about like motherhood jokes and more about this friendship. And like, you know, I love a female friendship storyline and just like the growing up and what family means when it comes to your own little unit that you're building, but also these friendships that have been so invaluable. And it's a very New York movie. There's a lot of cute jokes in there about living in New York and having to go meet up with friends in the middle of nowhere. So I think you would even like it. You know what's weird though is I went to this theater and it was just like 10 dudes and me. And I don't try, you know, I'm not trying to judge, but I don't know if they were having a good time in the same way I was. So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I wanted to see this. And I feel like this movie came out in a zone where I like couldn't go to screenings yet. Or there's been a couple of periods in here where it's like either there was a bunch of movies that I couldn't go to screenings of because I like had cancer still. And then by the time the movie came out, I was like going to Fire Island or something. So
yeah.
Like I was busy.
It was
but this,
priorities, you know.
But this, I did want to see that. And so now that you're saying it's good, I'm like, okay,
it was fun.
We'll investigate.
It was a little bit like Baby Mama, you know, like.
Oh yeah. It looked very much
all
like
over
Baby
the place,
Mama.
But
yeah,
I love Baby Mama.
But so I like Baby Mama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, for number 8, I'm pulling a Shelby here. This is the Gaga Chromatica Ball concert film.
That is ridiculous.
A great selection.
That was so entertaining.
I went to an outdoor screening of this. It was a good time. I was a little drunk. It was exciting. Yeah, it's like if you'd love Lady Gaga, if you liked the concert, then this was fun. And I think that this has like sort of an added benefit that the last couple Beyonce Taylor Swift concert videos have not had, in that this concert was like 2.5 years ago. So I didn't remember it that well when I was watching the video or the movie, which was nice because then you're sort of reliving it. You're like, oh, I forgot she did this song, or oh, I forgot she did that. Whereas with the Beyonce one, I was like, oh, I saw this, you know, 5 months ago or whatever. Like, I remember this pretty well. So I think
unique. Yeah.
Yeah. It was unique is a song by Beyonce. That's not a song by Lady Gaga.
I was saying, what a great opportunity for artists everywhere to think, maybe I'll delay this concert film for nostalgia's sake.
Right. And so you should. Taylor Swift should delay all of the rest of her movies for at least 80 years. I have to be dead by then. Okay, what's your number 8?
I want to tell you, but my phone that had my list just died, and I'm trying to reboot it. I don't know why. Gosh. So is that why the universe is out to destroy me right now? But if I remember correctly, it had to have been Babes, and then it was.
Are you? Do you have the phone plugged in now, or are we just going to be going for the rest of this? Oh, it's booting up. Do you want me to give you my 8?
No. I can. I'm fairly certain I remember that it was. That it was Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
Which I enjoy, and I stand by it. It's not great, but it is what it needs to be. Like, my husband hated it. Rob was such a baby about it. He can just like rant about how it's a bad film. And yet, guess who hit like play when it started, when it came on streaming on HBO or whatever?
Wasn't it always on streaming?
It's just like, you can't resist it. You just want to, you just enjoy it. I don't know. I have a good time. I like the music. I like the bad singing by the lead. I like the ridiculous costuming and the elf product placement. You can't make me hate this movie just because it's not good.
No, I also liked Mean Girls and contemplated putting it on my list. I think it was probably like in the 14, 15 range, but I was like, oh, should I make that my number 10? But I ultimately liked Upgraded better than I thought I liked Mean Girls. Yeah, the main girl's so bad in Mean Girls that it does really take it down a notch. When you said the main girl a second ago, I was like, oh, wow, I forgot that Shelby really hated Renee Rapp. And then I was like, I forgot there was a whole other character, the Lindsay Lohan character, that's so bad in that movie that I deleted her from my brain.
No disrespect to Renee Rapp. The whole trio of plastics are a joy to behold. It's Miss Katie who struggles to keep up.
Okay, so is your phone back rebooted? Was that actually your number 8 pick, or don't we know?
I'm officially powered down, and now it's rebooted. So I'll let you know in just a moment.
Okay. Well, my number 7 is Immaculate, which we've already discussed. Several spots higher than you. I'm just more probably pro-women, more anti-Catholic church than you are. You're sort of Republican-ish sometimes.
My gosh, you know? I swear. I do not need that label on me right now, Matt. It will break me psychologically, okay?
No, Shelby's not a Republican. Nobody think that she is. She doesn't even eat meat most of the time. Like, she's very woke.
Like a socialist anarchist. Like, honestly, set me free from the two-party system. I can't.
Shelby's
anymore.
Hoping to relive the movie Castaway in the near future. Just her and a volleyball and some FedEx packages. Yes,
exactly.
Hanging out.
Anything, please.
Okay. What's your number 7?
Or is my the phone number up? 7. Matt, I don't know what's going on. It's just like literally a black screen. It's fine though, because I do remember this one.
How old is your phone?
I mean, it's, I don't know, 2 generations ago. Like, it's one. I don't remember what number we're on. 15. Anyways, no, but I remember what came after Mean Girls, and it was A Quiet Place, Day One.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Which we just did an episode on. And, you know, it's interesting because I've talked to some people who've seen it since, and they're like, yeah, it wasn't as fun as I expected, which is, like, true, for sure. You know, relatively speaking, it's pretty somber. But I still think it's a good monster movie. It's like War of the World type vibes, where it's not played for laughs. Like, it's not over the top, per se. But I still think it works as a genre film.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I almost think it might be the best Quiet Place movie.
I'd say it's
better than the first one, but no, I think it's a really good movie. It's sort of like you're not necessarily getting, I think, what people thought that maybe they would get from it, which is like more origin kind of stuff and more like, I don't know, explanation of like on a more macro scale of what's going on, where this was like pretty intimate and kept to a pretty small cast, even though it was set in New York. So I liked it. It did not make my top 10, but it, like Mean Girls, was close. It was sort of hovering around the mid tier.
Wow. Okay. I really thought with Cancer, you would have just globbed onto this top three for sure.
Like, I liked it. I do think that it has like a slightly sour taste in my mouth because I was sobbing during half of it. And, you know, it's like, that a fun, enjoyable experience? Like, maybe? Unclear?
That's fair.
However, and a movie going experience that I did really enjoy is my number six pick, which is Sasquatch Sunset, which, did you ever watch this? No, of course you didn't.
I don't even know what this is.
You don't know what Sasquatch Sunset is?
I've never heard of this.
What?
Why are you acting like this is a thing?
Because I feel like this was sort of a big deal because they did all of this like viral marketing in New York. This is the movie that's about like four Bigfoots, basically. It's like a family of Bigfoots, and one of them is played by Riley Keough, one of them is played by Jesse Eisenberg, but they don't talk at all during the movie, and also they're in these like full body suit makeup things, so there's really no reason why you'd get famous people.
Matthew,
yeah.
Was this just a dream you had during your treatment? Like, were you having a drug-induced vision of Sasquatch?
No, Liza Minnelli and I went and saw this in a theater together. It was great.
I literally have never heard of this.
Well, then they did all of this marketing in New York where they just had people dressed up like Bigfoot walking around in Central Park. I thought you would have at least seen one of those TikToks.
No, not at all. So, you said Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
And who
else? Is one of the Bigfoots. Riley Keough, and I can't remember who the other two are. They might not be famous. It's like four Bigfoots. Okay. It's a family of Bigfoots. They're just like living their lives out in the woods. And it's kind of nature documentary kind of a thing. But it's just following around these like quote unquote Bigfoots. And the different things that they encounter, it's pretty short. It's very graphic in like a they're like shitting, they're like having sex with each other, they're throwing up, like they are, it's very bodily function forward, and a lot of people hated it, but I thought this was very interesting, a good crap scene. I love a crap scene. No, I feel like I'm the person who likes those kinds of things least, but I somehow loved this movie. I thought it was very interesting.
Oh my gosh, that's wild. Well, I'm excited to consider watching that, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like you might like it.
I don't know. Nothing you described makes me think so.
It's short.
It sounds basically like an indie Planet of the Apes, and I'm not sure if that's what I need in my life right now.
No, they're not killing people. Like, there's really no interaction.
Planet of the Apes
like...
is not about them killing people either, okay? You're so ignorant.
Okay. Whatever. Well, I feel like you might be slightly racist by mixing up apes and big feet. You know, they're a very different group of people, and you just really lump them together because they're both hairy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, I love a good audience score differentiation. And this says, like, it's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, but has 31% from the audience. So,
yeah, I imagine a lot of people who went and saw this could not stand it. It's very off-putting in some ways.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, you know, I won't like this. You just want me to sit through it.
Well, See, I can't tell if you wouldn't like it or not because it's sort of it's a little bit feminist, I will say. Oh, and okay. There's a, you know, I know you'd love a monster-y kind of movie. You love animals. I don't know. This feels more
right.
Sort of in your wheelhouse than mine.
Yeah.
Okay. It's basically the Barbie movie, but with big dogs as people instead.
For sure.
Okay, what's your number six? Or is your phone still
My off? Number six. No, I got it figured out. My number six is Monkey Man.
Oh, so, yes.
Staying on theme. But this is the Dave Patel revenge story. It runs long, but I think overall it's like a much more thoughtful sort of John Wick style story with a lot of obviously interesting details from Dev Patel's experience and POV. And you know what? I also watched The Beekeeper finally on the airplane. Did you ever see that?
No, the Jason Statham one?
Yeah, terrible. I, for some reason, thought people liked it. Like, I remember people being like, oh, yeah, that was surprisingly good. So I thought it would be good, but it was, like, laughably bad. And so I just want people to know that there's a better movie out there if you want to see some really sick action and, like, really cool set pieces. Watch Monkey Man instead. So,
Monkey Man, Sasquatch Sunset double feature. Really, it's right here for you all to get.
I mean, Monkey
with.
Man is streaming. What's it on? Is it Prime 2? I don't.
Is it everything on Prime? Monkey Man. Let's investigate. Monkey Man the movie is on Peacock.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, so. He's gorgeous. It's so. Oh yeah, it's great. I still think about that elevator scene like once a month, honestly. Just the fire in his eyes.
Oh yeah. No, I liked that. I liked Monkey Man 2. Again, that did not quite make my top 10, but I did enjoy it because I had to make room for The Idea of You.
No.
The Anne Hathaway rom-com.
Ridiculous.
This is a great movie. This is a perfect movie.
Great movie is ridiculous.
It really could have been number one. That's was wonderful and immaculate. Other than the fact that the artwork that Anne Hathaway loved was not great, the movie was really flawless, I think. I've listened to the soundtrack a bunch since then. I still think about, you know, various sequences and how good Anne Hathaway looked in the whole thing and how her, you know, she had saggy boobs and she was upset about that, which I think, you know, very relatable. And
no, the more I think about this movie, the more bothered I am by it, if I'm being honest. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, and I have multiple movies on this list with old women falling in love with young men. I'm like, what does that say about me? Let's
are
not
there more,
that
or
question.
Have we covered them all?
entrant
for A Family Affair. Did you finally see that one?
No. Is that the Zac Efron one?
Yeah. Which no, I think was better. I do. I think it was better than The Idea of You and more age appropriate.
I don't know how that would be possible.
Well, you know, maybe give it a try and then we can figure it out. We can
The Idea of You
together.
Is a top 10 film of the decade, I would say. Okay, what was your number 5?
I'm excited about this one. I saw Thelma.
Oh, yes. I've been wanting to see this.
No, it is so good. So this is starring
June Squibb.
Yeah, Squibb, 93 years old. It's one, so funny. Two, it's like a very well-paced sort of like action film. And also, I just realized, is also a revenge thriller, basically, because she gets scammed into sending like $10,000 by mail to an address and is embarrassed and decides she's going to track down this person who scammed her and get her money back as well as her dignity. She's resistant to this idea of aging and she doesn't want to be seen as incapable and like her family's so worried about her and talking about rehoming her, blah, 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 blah. And she is one, just like such a charismatic, entertaining person. But the humor here is just like so on point for anyone who's interacted with a older white woman ever. I went to see this with Rob and his mother, bless her heart. And it was just so funny to see her like laugh because she realized she's doing similar things. You know what I mean? The intergenerational opportunity here for humor is really played very well. And there's a grandson featured played by the kid from White Lotus, the son who stays in Hawaii.
Fred Hershinger?
I don't know. I only know him as the kid in White Lotus season one.
Who stays in Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah. Be a rower or whatever.
Yeah. But they have good chemistry. It's fun. It's really sweet, really tender. And just a good reminder of how our society really needs to come together and like build community and mutual aid around one another, because we're all we have in the end.
Interesting. No, I want to see that. I have a hat they just mailed me that says June Squibb on it that I have worn.
Oh, cute. So yeah, no, it's very funny. It's very funny. Everyone who's seen it loves it. It's short, quick. Like, I think more people should see it because it's very fun.
My number four, which I'm interested to see if is on your list at all, is Dune Part 2.
Of course it's on my list.
Feels like the movie from the first half of the year. Like, that's the Oscar contender. It, you know, obviously got rave reviews. I really enjoyed it. Beautiful, stunning. Zendaya, Timothée Chalamet, the whole crew.
I'm the baby.
Yeah. How can we possibly forget Rebecca Ferguson riding around on a worm in a basket?
I wish I could remember what she says.
Shelby still doesn't know how they got on and off the worm, but you know.
Yeah, no. I don't. I mean, I think it just requires a very specific level of awareness on worm energies, because supposedly they just tire the worms out. So it's like, are they just circling the citadel until the worm gets tired enough that they can dismount? I don't get it. I wish I did.
Well, isn't the citadel in Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
We're getting our desert movies mixed up. Yeah. The Fremen.
Yeah, but no, okay, I did like Dune 2. I think it was a good you'll be hearing more about it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm surprised it's that low for you, honestly. Like, what German film came in the last minute to outpace Dune 2?
Not a German movie.
Because I'm looking at my next four, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure Matt hates most of these, so I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what you've put above them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, two of these movies you might not have heard of. I'll say that about my top three. Annoying. But they're worth watching. That's okay. What we're here for. Okay,
you're right. Thank you for bringing in...
We can't just be talking about the Fall Guy the entire time.
Well, speaking of, my number four is the Fall Guy.
No,
it is. It's a fun movie. You can't make me hate this movie.
My number four from the bottom is the Fall Guy.
That's so ridiculous. Like, it's just
bring
not,
back Argyle.
It is not a bad Argyle movie. It is a fun movie, and Ryan Gosling is very fun to watch. And also, there's an All Too Well, like, perfectly placed needle drop. Yeah. Like, you can't hate on it. It's impeccable. So
no, that was well done. I'll give them that.
And yeah, I mean, it's nonsense, but half of the films we've talked about have been nonsense. So, like, when do you choose?
Not mine.
Mr. Sasquatch family.
That could be
taking
real.
A shit together. It's like, oh, this is high art, but the Fall Guy, no, that's not how stunts
exactly.
work.
Exactly, Shelby. That's exactly right. I'm gonna use my Bene Gesserit voice on you. Delete that from the list. Oh gosh, we're losing our minds. Okay, my number three movie is a French Canadian film called Solo. Which is so good. Truly, I saw this at Toronto last year. One of the best movies I saw.
Okay.
It finally came out in theaters this year. I'm like, is it available on streaming? Let me investigate. But
Solo as in alone. Or Solo as in that's solo.
No, Solo as in alone.
Okay.
My gosh.
I just need to verify.
Yes, it was. So it's about a bunch of drag queens who are in Montreal, I believe. And one of them sort of falls in love with another one, and that one ends up being sort of toxic. And it's this kind of toxic relationship that they've got going on. But the acting is absolutely stunning. The shot the way that they shoot the drag sequences, the like lip syncing is so much better than anything that I've ever seen on Drag Race that I'm like, we have to actually get these people involved with the franchise because they're so much better at doing this than RuPaul and his team are. And yeah, everyone who I know who saw this at the festival loved it. It came out in New York a couple of months ago. Everybody loved it. I don't think it's on a streaming service yet, but I'm sure that it will be. So keep an eye out for it. And this is also the movie that launched my famous green corduroy bomber jacket that I wore because I saw somebody in this movie was wearing it. And I was like, I have to have that coat.
Oh my gosh.
And so I found it online and ordered it. So,
oh my gosh, hashtag influenced. Whoa.
This is also one of the few movies that I think that really gets like club sequences right. You know, like the club sequences in this movie actually feel like real going out to the club sequences. They don't feel like a movie club, if that makes sense.
Like the Fall Guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about the Fall Guy that don't quite feel exactly
right.
No,
I'm saying similar to the Fall Guy's excellent acknowledgement of the neon discotheque of a foreign.
Oh, where the body's in the tub? Is that where?
You I'm like, what? Blocked this movie from my memory completely.
What club did they going? Are they going to?
He wears a neon jacket.
Oh yes, and he's on
and meets the drug.
Yes,
the drug.
But he's
dealer.
On something yeah, while he's there. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
He so, gets drugged.
Yeah.
Okay, you. What's your number three? I'm trying to think of movies I hated this year that you might have liked.
Okay, yeah, take a guess. Take a guess. Take a guess.
What have we covered on this?
We have podcast? Covered this.
Oh, gosh.
I'm imagining it's still on your list to come.
Oh, it's still on my list. So it's something I like.
I assume.
So is I'll it Challengers?
Yes!
I love Challengers. It's such a good movie. It is
yeah,
coming.
Yes. Challengers is a great film. It's my number three. I think it's great. I think it's really well paced. I think it's an interesting character study. I think it's fun. It's also dramatic. It's over the top. It's confusing. It's like ambiguous. I don't know. It's a good time. And the soundtrack is so good.
Oh my gosh, yes. The Atticus and Trent.
Trent I don't know. Rosner I just I put Atticus it on at the gym Ross, and yes. I feel super powered.
I know. It's a great running soundtrack too.
Yeah.
The tennis match song at the end. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So good.
And I keep all three on of them waiting are giving great performances. Yes. I want to watch it again. I wish I had it's like seven times in theaters just for the joy of it, but I didn't. So
I know.
One of the biggest regrets.
Well, that was your number three. So now to my number two. This is a movie that I just checked. It's currently on Mubi, which unclear if anybody has
That's
that. But you can
thing.
Rent it on Prime Video. This movie, I think that you would love, Shelby. It's okay. called How to Have Sex. It's
Why
have you heard
do you
about
think
this?
I'd
Did
love
I
that,
tell you
Matt?
About this? Because you are
I know how to have sex, okay?
You're a Tiger Woods-esque level sex addict. No. No, this, so obviously it has a catchy title. This played the festivals last year and then came out in the US this year. It's a British movie. It's about three best friends who are in, I guess, like high school, maybe college, I guess. It's hard to tell with the British schooling system what anybody's doing.
They age
but they're
so
going on, but they go on holiday to something that is akin to like the Jersey Shore, but in I think Greece maybe is where they go. They're on holiday someplace, and it's these three girls, and they're all
you
kind
know,
of a
I'm
little.
I'm gonna be honest. The search engine optimization on that title is not great.
Oh, did you just search how to have sex?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe how to have
how to
sex
have like movie?
Movie? Do we think that'll help? How to Have Sex 2024?
Yeah, I'll find it, I'm sure. Something helpful will come up.
You know? It was written and directed by this woman, Molly Manning Walker, who I'm pretty sure is a lesbian. And so it's about these three friends, and they go on this trip, and some like bad things happen to them, some good things happen to them. They're going out and partying, they're meeting boys, they're, you know, it's just sort of like a raucous sort of weekend. And there are some like trigger warning kind of stuff that happened, but I think it's all handled really well. And it's just a really good story about like friendship and sort of getting through these like horrible, horrible times sometimes when you're young. And the lead actress, Mia McKenna-Bruce, is so good. Like, she should have gotten nominated for an Oscar. Well, I guess she's technically eligible this year, but like a breathtaking performance.
Oh my gosh. So, you know what, Matt? I actually do think I want to see that. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. See? Thank you. And it's British, so it's in English. Everybody.
So barely.
It's not German. I only had one foreign language movie, unless you count Sasquatch as a foreign language, in which case I had two, because there's not really any talking about there. Oh, and then, you know, Lady
there's
Gaga
no
might
talking
say some,
in that movie
in Sasquatch Sunset. No, because they're Sasquatches, so they're just kind of grunting.
Gosh. That's just
pointing,
so no
gestures.
So annoying. You know. Okay, it's fine, we've moved on.
Okay, what's your number two?
My number two, this is where we have Dune. Dune 2.
Oh, okay, great.
I don't know why yours is so low, honestly, but
mine is number four.
Yeah,
that's that low.
A lifetime ago. No, I think this is really I think it's interesting because it's again sort of a morally ambiguous, or like you don't like surface level. A lot of people don't get it, or they're frustrated by it, or they're like, "Wait, why do I feel bad about what's his face? Aaron? Paul?" Paul.
Paul Atreides?
Paul, yeah. Yeah. Yes. But I think it's a really cool movie and very thoughtful and interesting to see someone who clearly like really loves the source material actually do a good job of pulling that out beyond what the author could do in the first book. So
yes. Yeah. No. The movie is great.
Zendaya, so...
And Zendaya. Well, speaking of Zendaya, my number one movie of the year so far is Challengers. I sort of struggled to see something passing this. Like, I did love this movie so, 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 so much. I love the performances. Yeah. The script, I think, is super tight and well done. The music. I loved how it cut back and forth from the different time periods. Very confused why there was a random hurricane in New Rochelle one night, but you know what?
It's a metaphor for their relationship. Matthew.
So yeah, great. Challengers, 10 out of 10. Phenomenal movie. I'm sort of confused as to what's in your number one slot if it's not Challengers or Dune.
Well, that's because, Matthew, you don't have great taste. And so you forgot that number one should and is Civil War for me.
No!
Personally.
Not Civil War.
Literally, tell me a more relevant film, honestly. Like, a more haunting
relevant
story.
Shelby, it's Wimbledon right now. The most relevant movie out there is Challengers.
It doesn't even feature Wimbledon, not even once. It's a made-up
tennis
match.
They talk about it. They talk about Wimbledon.
But I think Civil War, I honestly wish... I think about your hideously wrong take on this film probably once a week. Like, literally, it's come up multiple times since we've done our episode where, like, Laura, my sister, was like, yeah, I told my coworker to listen to that episode, and he was just like baffled that that dude thought it was anti-journalism. So I think you need to revisit this because it is a very good film.
I hated that movie.
No, you just didn't get it. You didn't get it. And I think that's that it spoke to me on such a, like it met me right where I was. You know what I mean? Like, I'm staring down the demon eye that is at the heart of this country and Western civilization, And Civil War, the movie, was like, yes, girl, I see it too. And it was like the most validating experience of my life in cinemas. So you can't make me hate it. Like, I just know I'm right about it.
Well, but yeah, but here's the thing. You are not a journalist. And I imagine that whoever Laura's friend isn't either. And so it's hard for you to really understand how critical that was to my people.
It's critical. And our work. You know what? Journalism is, they run the gamut, just like doctors. Just like, you know, you see a doctor at the Trump rally saving lives. He's still at the Trump rally. But there's also doctors who are, you know, saving lives during the COVID pandemic. Like, journalists are good and bad. Journalists have their reasons. Journalists have their coping mechanisms. Journalists aren't all good. Some of them write for the New York Times about anti-transgender, you know, care and pretend it's an op-ed. Like, you can't just pretend journalists are pure. Well, yes, because they're op-eds by a journalist.
Well, I guess.
And it's promoted by a journalism establishment. So I think it's just silly to pretend that being a journalist, one, protects you from criticism, or pretends that you're, you know, separate from what you're covering. I think everyone has an angle and a bias. And I think the movie's interesting because it doesn't ask you to glamorize or glorify these people or even condemn them. It's really just about the pointlessness of violence and how it changes us all on an individual scale in ways that you can't even really anticipate or articulate. And I think the movie is interesting in today's world because there is sort of this rush and need for the next hit, the next, you know, the great Pulitzer, the moment, the winning moment. And you see it all the time, and especially this week with like the whole Trump thing. It's like everyone's tripping over themselves to have the picture, to write the piece, to feature the right audience member, and all of that adds to the propaganda machine. So it's like, I don't know. I'm gonna take a beat, but I love this movie. So
fun fact about the Trump rally is that was like right by my college, like in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. So,
wow. Oh my gosh. So did you know him?
No, I did not. But I imagine that I did know people who were at the rally.
Yeah. Yeah. Too many.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. I'm sure that lots of professors from my college were there. Yeah, I did not like Civil War. We'll probably never like Civil War. It's also just an unpleasant movie on top of its whatever it's saying about journalism. And also it's by a director who I don't like either. So it's kind of like, ugh. But I did love Kirsten Dunst in it. And yeah, Jesse Plemons was great. The acting was good for the most part. Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I mean,
we'll end on that.
Yeah, that's the movie. that's what we're stumbling towards.
I'll be making sure to rank that 117th at the end of the year ranking to drag that bad boy down.
Yeah. May God promise us another end of year ranking come January 2025.
Oh, I'm sure I will be here. I'm sure.
Yeah,
can't get rid of us. We've survived this long. Somehow we'll Quiet Place is going to be going on, and you and I are still going to be recording.
We'll just have to record near waterfalls. It'll all work out.
Yeah.
Water fountains for you.
Water fountains, waterfalls. Yeah. an awning in the rain. We have lots of options. I'm like, shouldn't we just like turn on loud music all the time? Like, wouldn't that help?
Yeah, it doesn't. The monsters don't make sense. They don't make any sense.
Right.
It's sort of like, are they intelligent? Are they not? I don't know. I would love to just sit there and write down every question I have about the Quiet Place monsters. I just don't know if there's really an audience for that.
Well, that's journalism, you know? So you could bring that to the New York Times and see if they'd run that when the next Quiet Place movie comes out.
And then I could have an opinion on Civil War that you would have to respect.
Well, speaking of journalists, we'll be watching another sort of journalist-themed movie next week in Twisters, where we have meteorologists, we have writers, you know, storm chasers. Yes, there's a whole journalist plotline in this movie.
Oh, okay, perfect.
And I like this journalist more than the journalist in Civil War and felt it was truer to
she my was experience honorable and truthful and loves a good listicle.
Okay. Rude. Okay, but we'll be covering Twisters next week. I might get a new co-host by then, since this one is being nasty.
Why don't you call up one of your Sasquatch bunnies?
They can just fart on the whole podcast. Great. Okay, well, another year, another one of these, another crop of average-ish movies, and we will be back next week, I think, with a pop culture roundup and an episode on Twisters.
Yes.
See you then. Yes. Bye.